Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. I am your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
And we are back in your ears once again. We're going to touch on National Signing Day, which was today. We're recording this on Wednesday, December 15th. And we're also going to take a look ahead to the Purdue versus Butler game coming up at the Crossroads Classic, which has been a bit of a bugaboo for Purdue in the past. But Casey is, I'm sure, going to reassure me that this is not a problem and Purdue will have a victory come Saturday evening after we leave Indianapolis. So before we get into that, though, Casey, I know last week we talked about Christmas food. This time I've got another Christmas-related question for you.
I hope to do better than I did last time. Also, I'm just really tired today. You know, we had 20 commitments. That was a lot of work on my part and your part.
I don't think we did anything.
We cheered Kyle on.
Yes,
as he
we rooted for Kyle
beasted,
as he wrote story after story.
Beasted Agent Arbord.
Yeah. So my question for you is this. I know you're not a big sweets person. I've decided to not ask you about food anymore because you have trash opinions.
You could ask me about Lafayette restaurant cuisine, and I would be so much more enlightened than every one of you plebs.
That's probably true.
In the group chat, who's always just like, oh, some pizza place that existed 25 years ago.
I mean, I don't think I can tell you a pizza place that existed up there 25 years ago that doesn't now.
What is that thing you and Travis always talk about that you rant and rave about, and it's still one in Champaign, Illinois?
Oh, you're talking about Garcia's.
Yeah, so you're a liar.
Well, I mean,
you're a liar.
I don't say I rant and rave about it. It was pretty good, though. They had an arcade. They had, like, different arcades in the building. It was pretty cool.
I'm sold.
My brother worked there and came back from Christmas break, and there was a sign that they had closed. So
they pulled Jake's, huh?
Yeah, they just were like, and we're closed now. And it's like, I guess I don't have a job.
Yeah, so my good friend.
They worked at Wendy's.
When Jake's did that, and they did that story in JNC, the woman they took a picture of is a good friend of mine, and I think I was with her the night before, and all of a sudden I see her picture on the newspaper. I'm like, what happened? She's like, the frickin' angle they took that picture at. I got 9 chins. I was like, that was rude.
All right. Well, so my question, less alcohol-related, is growing up, or, you know, more recently even, what do you think has been the Christmas present you've been most excited about receiving?
Oh, good question, Lynn. That's a solid question.
Thank you.
So I'm guessing you weren't this kid, but like I was a money kid from very early on.
A money kid?
Yeah, like I was.
What does that even mean?
Like I want money for a gift.
Okay.
Usually because I wanted to put the money together from. Well, I was two types of kid. I was a money kid definitely towards the end of high school. Before that, I always knew everyone's price range. Like I knew what my grandma on this side would give me. I knew what my grandma on this side would give me. I knew about what my mother would spend. So I gave each of them just one item that listed inside that money thing. But I got a laptop for Christmas like 7 or 8 years ago from an ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
She was a girlfriend at the time.
Well, obviously, I assumed. I was hoping you don't have ex-girlfriends sending you laptops.
So I think that's definitely, that's probably the winner. Like, it's hard to beat a laptop.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm sure I got a, I don't think I ever got a game console, but I got the money to buy game consoles.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, how about you?
For me, I think the one that stands out is a game console. I can't remember what age I was, but it was a Nintendo 64.
Okay.
And I just remember being so excited for that. I can't even remember what games we had with it, like, originally. I know it came with Mario 64, and then, of course, we got GoldenEye and Mario Kart. And, I mean, I maintain that the Nintendo 64 is probably the best console of all time.
So if you only get one, I was never an N64 kid. I was always PlayStation. But my best friend had a 64. We had a 64 the one semester I lived on campus at UND of the Greyhounds while I didn't go to school.
Gotcha.
That was a fun thing that you should do.
Time.
Yeah, that's something you should do in your lifetime. Live on campus while not going to class. It's good times.
Yeah, I bet.
So, you know, we had the Perfect Dark Sessions, the Mario Kart. Yeah. What is, if you could just have one N64 game, what are you going with?
I think I would have to go GoldenEye because the individual gameplay is great because you can go through the whole game multiple times and you can go on different difficulties and it's just fantastic. But the multiplayer is unbelievable. And
do you think the multiplayer is better than Perfect Dark?
Well, I think it was because I loved Perfect Dark. For those that don't know, it was also a first-person shooter, but it was, like, more futuristic.
The X-ray gun.
Yeah, the X-ray gun.
The plasma, and whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, and they had, I mean, they had all different kinds of weapons. But I think the gameplay for Perfect Dark was a little harder to, like, just pick up and go, whereas GoldenEye was, like, anybody can sit down, and in 10 seconds, they're going to know what they're doing. So I think in that sense, it was a lot better. If it's going to be your one game to have, because everybody can come and play it with you.
That's fair.
Another good one would be NFL Blitz.
NFL Blitz was definitely good.
That was a good one.
The problem with NFL Blitz is friendships probably wouldn't survive if that's the only game you had.
There's a lot of yelling.
Yeah, like, the bomb again? I'm going to de-bomb my fist in your face.
And then it's just like, if again, for those that don't know, NFL Blitz was just a football game where you played, was it 5-on-5 or 7-on-7? I don't remember. But there were no flags. You could just tackle people out of nowhere. Everything, like, you couldn't even run the ball, really. It was just all passes, and they were all deep routes and slants, and you could just, like, knock people over. It was really crazy. I don't think you could make that game now because of CTE, but there was a lot of, like, body slams.
I mean,
and
I don't think we care if they're video games.
Yeah, but, you know.
Come on, they're fake people.
That's true.
A strong one for me, I don't know if you ever got into this, WCW NWO Revenge.
Yes. Revenge. I literally have that game upstairs.
That is probably the best one-on-one competition where literally you had the ebb and flow of, like, a wrestling match.
Yeah.
You can get in a little rhythm and then a comeback. So that was always fun.
Okay, well, who was your character?
Which wrestler did I use?
Yeah.
I was a Sting guy.
Okay, good choice.
But Kevin Nash was the best to have.
Well, yeah, because he was, you know, he was a very big
beast,
man.
Yeah.
I was always more of a cruiserweight kind of guy, so I loved Rey Mysterio Jr.
The one time you could have pretended to be tall, Edmund.
Well, you know, I like to stand up for my short kings.
Just not stand up very high.
Yeah, well, I mean, I stand up as much as I can. I can't help my height. So I was always a Rey Mysterio Jr. guy. I loved doing the Royal Rumble.
Always great. Always great.
I forget what it was, like 40 people. That was the most you could do, and you just put yourself in first and then survive as long as you can.
Yeah, I don't know how many the N64 could handle, but yeah, it's one of the few games where you're playing the AI and you are literally tense the whole time because you're like, screw up just a little.
Yeah. Especially when you get, like, four people in the ring at once, five people in the ring at once, you're, like, just trying to hide out and run. And you're like, oh, man, if I can just clothesline this guy over the rope, it'll all be fine.
Yeah.
And then the giant comes in, and you're like, oh, no. No, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Very satisfying. N64, you might be right. That it did just hit perfectly. Like, it's not what video games are now, but just, like, pure one-on-one. Because, like, we haven't even mentioned Mario Kart, really. And what's better than drunken Mario Kart at 2:30 in them? The one game where, like, you know, girls were just as interested and usually kicked your ass.
Yeah.
Like, good times.
And that was also another game where there was a lot of anger. You know, like, you're in first
place. Yeah.
Somebody behind you gets three red shells and they just hit you three times. And you're like, oh, great. I led the whole way, but now I got hit with three red shells and suddenly I got sixth.
Yeah. And then I was always a person that took it a little too seriously.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Just like,
considering you get kicked out of basketball games sometimes to this day.
Football.
No. I'm talking about when you're playing.
Yes, yeah.
Singing a different tune there.
I get teed up, yeah, a lot. That ref I'm probably jinxing myself, but this session hasn't been there for the first two. I think he got kicked in.
So maybe you were justified.
I was totally justified. He was awful. He nearly helped burst, like, two ACLs.
Well, I think we've gotten that.
You can't get this content anywhere else, folks.
I know. So just a quick comment on National Signing Day. We're hoping to have Kyle on to talk about everything that we as Purdue fans have to look forward to. We signed a class, depending on where you looked, around 28, 29 in the nation. These things are always shifting, so we don't have the exact number that's going to be finalized. But we're also, of course, looking at folks from the transfer portal that are coming in. I know we've had verbals from somebody from Iowa, somebody from Auburn, and then Casey, you just told me as we were starting, we had one from somewhere else.
Running back from California. And if this page loads, I could give you his name. Gotta click into it first. That's how this works.
Yeah.
Yes, running back, last name Brooks, I believe, led the Golden Bears of Cal with 607 rushing yards last year, 4 touchdowns on the ground. He's 6'2", 235.
Fantastic. So we're not going to go into individual players or anything like that. We're gonna save that for when we can get Kyle on, which will hopefully be coming up this weekend, which we'll then post probably the week of Christmas. We will see. We're juggling some things with the holiday travel and all that, but rest assured, we will still be coming at you as often as we can.
Be in your ear holes.
Yeah. So
presents in your stocking.
Exactly. So now that we've gotten all that out of the way, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to talk about Butler. And we are back. So as I said before the break, we're going to talk about Purdue heading to the Crossroads Classic to take on Butler. And as I mentioned at the top, this event has been a nightmare for Purdue. We have the worst record of the four teams. We sit at 3-7 in this thing versus Notre Dame, 4-6, Indiana, 7-3, and Butler, 6-4. So not been a great situation for Purdue. I think it's great for the state of Indiana. I think it's a great event. Unfortunately, this is going to be the last year it's going to happen.
Which schools ruined that, Ledman?
I think it might have been certain teams, maybe Indiana and Notre Dame, who think they're bigger than the state of Indiana.
I'm shocked. It's the only time they win, and they don't want to be involved?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it on one sense because they're like, oh, we can get other tournaments that happened on that weekend, but it's one game.
What do you mean
highlights
you get it? They for the last 4 or 5 years, they might have succeeded in that tournament. They have been by far the lowest ranked of the teams in them.
Yes, yes, that's true. I just mean from a scheduling perspective, you certainly want as much flexibility as possible. But if I were them, I would use this as a selling point for folks that I'm recruiting for the state of Indiana.
Honestly, they've probably given up the state of Indiana because we're about to have back-to-back years where we get the number one and number two.
Yeah.
Mr. Indiana.
Basketball, so.
Which would be the third time in, what, 7 years?
Oh, I don't even know.
Because we did have Klein and Swanigan as well.
Right, right. So. Yeah, so I guess that would be.
Indiana!
So Purdue is taking on the Bulldogs from Butler. Butler currently sits 7-3. They've played one ranked team this year in Houston, and they lost 70-52.
Guess how long it took for them to score a basket in that game?
Oh, 4 minutes.
6.5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time.
That is crazy. So, Casey, what do we need to know about Butler, and can you be more honest with me than you were when we played Rutgers?
Nope.
All right, nothing but lies. Let's do it.
All lies. Yeah, the Rutgers thing, you know, we kind of overlooked that. I guess they were just long and played hard and better against us than anyone else all season, and that sucked. Butler. They've got one good win on the year, Oklahoma in overtime, 66-62. They have lost in double figures to Michigan State and Houston. Also lost in a neutral floor to Texas A&M. I have a little trivia for you.
Oh, okay.
Edmund?
Let's see.
Okay. So, out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players that have played at least... No, it's not on here. This is riveting podcasting. I apologize.
Yeah.
All right. Out of the 8 players that have played over 30% of the minutes on the season... Their best offensive rated player would rank where?
Oh, geez.
Amongst R.
Oh, okay.
10 amongst rotation players.
Okay. I'm going to go 8th.
You are very close.
Okay.
They would be 9th.
Oh, wow.
Their top rated offensive player is Jair Bolden.
Yeah.
6'3 guard, shooting 42% from 3, 92% from the line. Now, which Purdue Boilermaker is below him in offensive rating?
Hunter?
Indeed. So,
all right, look at me.
Bolden's offensive rating is 113. Hunter's is 95.
Oh, wow, that's a big jump. Or a big drop, I should say.
Big drop. But then, so 113 is the high for Butler. Our next lowest above Hunter is Trey Williams at 118.
Okay.
So everyone else on our team is 118 and above. We've got, we've got 6 guys above 120.
Wow.
4 guys above 130, couple guys above 140. So the point of this is Butler's offense is not good, which we also thought about Rutgers.
Right, but it looks like, I mean, they've only scored 80 or above 2 times this season, and that was against Central Arkansas and Chaminade.
Exactly, 2 teams that are not even ranked by KenPom.
Yeah, never good to not be ranked on KenPom.
And here's the thing. So first of all, we think of Butler as a very well-coached program.
Yeah.
And it's because their last three coaches were.
Yeah, they had a string of coaches there who were pretty good.
Chris Holtman, Brad Stevens, and Thad Matta.
Yeah.
Pretty good names. Lavelle Jordan ain't none of those.
I honestly didn't even know the name of their coach.
Yeah. He means well. They run a pretty decent offense. It's pretty motion-based, pretty not too dissimilar to what you see from our basic sets at Purdue. The big problem with Butler is they just don't really have that guy or anywhere close to an assimilation of that guy. We lost at Rutgers because they have that guy. Ron Harper Jr. dropped 30 on us. Butler has no indication of a player that could get anywhere that hot, and he doesn't really have a collection of guys that are going to throw. I mean, they went 6.5 minutes without scoring against Houston.
Yeah, that's a long stretch to start a game.
Yeah, so that's their best players not being able to score for that long. So it is an offense that does not worry me. They are not a big team. They've actually rebounded the ball pretty well. They've done a good job keeping teams off the offensive glass at least, but you really watch that Rutgers or the Houston game and you watch a team that's not very disciplined. They're not very aggressive. They get lost. They're a little lazy off ball. So it's a combination of an offense that's not very explosive and a defense that's not been great. So the confidence I felt going into Rutgers is similar.
Which was high.
It's even more confident now, even though Purdue's not playing as well and we've had some bad stretches. But
yeah,
this Butler team turns the ball over a lot. They got a turnover percentage of 23.1%, which is like the 327th in the country.
Yeah, that's very bad.
They got really...
Minder, there are around 350 teams.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, their lead guards are both on the smaller side. Chuck Harris, Jaden Taylor, Jerry Bolden. None of them are above 6'4". So you don't look at them as a team like Rutgers, who is long everywhere that could give you problems. And they've got a guy who is 6'9", and a guy who's 6'8", and a guy who's 6'7".
I was just about to ask about their center position. Do they have anyone? Obviously, hardly anyone compares height-wise to Zach Edey, but do they have anyone in his ballpark? But are you telling me that 6'9 guy is their biggest guy?
Yeah, and the biggest thing is, like, just he's 6'9", he's 245 pounds. He's rebounding on a defensive rate percentage at 10.5%. And if that doesn't catch anything with you off the top of your head, let's see here. Who has comparable average on our team? Sasha has an 8.6 rebounding percentage.
Okay. And we don't really think of Sasha as a phenomenal defensive rebounder.
You do not. You think of him as a guard.
Yes.
So
yeah. So given Purdue's history in this event, honestly, I am worried going into this game just because for whatever reason, Purdue doesn't play well in the Crossroads Classic. I shouldn't say better teams than this, but teams that have had pretty high expectations on them have gone into this event and played terribly and lost. And one reason I think that is that generally when Purdue goes into the Crossroads, they know the IU fans are going to be there and they're going to be rooting against them. They also know that, well, I'm just saying the crowd is generally against them because they've got the IU fans rooting against them, the team that they're playing there.
Because IU's two schools are playing at the same time?
Exactly. You know, their Notre Dame jackets are ready to be reversed for afterward. And they basically get to see two games for them, you know. So I worry about that. You know, the team has not done well in their one true road environment at Rutgers. So it's not obviously a road game, but sometimes I feel like the Crossroads can be treated that way just because of the crowd. But again, this isn't your older brother's Butler team. This isn't your dad's Butler team. You know, this isn't the team that's going to get to the Final Four and lose on a last second shot. There's no phenomenal player who's going to make it to the NBA and make a true difference in the league. So I am less worried about the Butler team and more worried about Purdue taking care of their own business.
Yeah, I think the Rutgers games happened. Not great. I think we all expected NC State to be the bounce back game, the get right game.
Yeah.
So it's concerning to see how poorly we played for the first 30 minutes. It does warrant to be said, and I think the reason that we only dropped to number 3 in the poll, which we didn't mention, but because I think we both probably thought they would drop a little further.
Yeah, I thought they'd end up 5 or 6 personally.
And I think part of the reason is, you know, national media doesn't pay as much attention to every single game the way that a Purdue fan base would. Like, we watched them and they didn't look like a top five team for most of that NC State game. But if you just watched the last like 7 to 5 minutes of regulation and overtime, that was a dominant Purdue performance.
Yeah, they looked good in that time span. They looked pretty good.
And that does matter. Can you turn it on late? Can you control all aspects of the game? Do you have that gear? Which sometimes you need because you have off nights and bad things happen. And even against good teams, like that's the thing we saw against North Carolina and Villanova. We didn't play particularly well in the first three quarters of those games either. We played better.
Well, yeah.
Like, we definitely played better, but I don't think we brought our A game yet. It wasn't until that last 10 minutes that we wore them down that we, you know, really started to go to Trey, really found a groove. And we have a gear when our players are playing well, when Sasha's hitting shots, when Trey's running the game, you know, Edie's out there grabbing boards. If you watch it in those flashes, like, we do have a gear. We have this tier that we can get up to that other teams cannot, which, you know, makes us dangerous. And I think against a team like Butler that doesn't have the size, it doesn't play very physical, that their guards are going to be small compared to ours, and they're not the sharpest team. They definitely get lost off ball. They leave open shooters. They're not the kind of team that's going to attack and attack and attack you off the ball. They don't have the one-on-one players. I think this is going to be our get-right game, because I think they match up poorly against us. And I think the NC State game, maybe even more so than the Rutgers game, little wake-up call. Because at the same time, they saw that, hey, we can get to here, but also if we don't, you know, we're going to struggle against everyone, because yeah. NC State's not great. And right. I think we figured some things out. Like, we were very happy with Morton that game.
Yes. So I think, you know, there's no real reason to spend a ton of time on Butler, but I want to get one more question, and I will answer my own question first to give you a little bit of time to think. So as we watch this game, what are you looking for from Purdue in order for you to come out of the game and say the team, you know, is back to where you thought they could be, or the team is truly getting right, that this was a get-right game for Purdue? And, you know, for me, what I would really like to see is just consistent production throughout the game. I don't want to see big stretches like we saw in the NC State game where Purdue goes 3-4 minutes without scoring, because that can be concerning against better teams. So I would like to see us play a more consistent offensive game throughout the entire 40 minutes. That's what I'm looking for, especially against a Butler team that, as you said, is not a terribly great defensive team. I want to see what we can do consistently for 40 minutes.
I think that's fair. Honestly, the most curious thing I want to see two things. I want to see first play well again, because we saw how good he can be against elite opponents. We can't have him disappear. His size, his speed, his feel for the game, the way he plays next to Trey, which I think we're kind of doing a disservice with the starting lineup right now, with him starting and playing with Edie more than Trey, because I think he's better with Trey. We saw how good he is at cutting to the hoop, taking advantage of defenses that want to double Trey. So I'd like to see him play more with Caleb and play well. And then I want to see this Eden Morton thing bear fruit for another game. Because if he keeps playing well, yes, that makes me and you right about him.
Which is always good.
More importantly, it means we have an answer for the limitations that we know exist in Thompson and Hunter. And I think that's really important for us going forward against really good teams and in the tournament, because if this team is going to capitalize on its potential, I think we're both, you know, especially after the last few games, we're pretty sure it's not going to happen with Hunter and Thompson being, you know, the de facto guards running things.
Yeah, well, especially not playing how they have these last couple games. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we had Thompson hitting, you know, 60% of the threes and playing as he did in the beginning of the year, that's just fine. But we certainly need more from our guards, as we discussed in the last episode. So that is something to look for as we head to – it's not Conseco. It's not Banker's Life. It's I don't even know what it's called anymore.
Bank Arena.
TD Bank Ameritrade Little Caesars Pavilion at the Crossing.
Yeah, I have a question for you though. Do you think we see a starting lineup change?
I do. I do. I think Trey is going to be in the starting lineup, and I also think he's obviously will take the place of Edie, and I think that First might be out of the starting lineup. And I think that
Gillis?
Oh my God, Gillis, yeah, his name went completely out of my mind. And I think Gillis might have earned a starting spot over first, if nothing else, just for Painter to reward him for the hustle and let first know that he's got to kind of get his mind right. Do you think there'll be a change?
I'm of two minds, because I don't think Painter's wrong. I don't think Trey starts games well. But I think Painter needs to be a little better and a little smarter about who Trey plays with, because I think Edie works best when the guards in the game are less. It's a twofold, because I want him to get the ball when he's in there. So it's kind of better when we don't have as many playmakers and shooters. But at the same time, we need Trey to be a playmaker when those guards are out there. So I'm having a hard time figuring out which one's better for starting or which one's not. I definitely agree that Trey needs to start playing more than 20 minutes a game.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been playing too well to be limited to 20 minutes simply because we've got another guy who plays a similar position.
Yeah.
I mean, the same position, but they play different styles. So I think whatever Painter can do to get Williams more minutes, I think is a good idea.
Yeah. And I can't really argue for first starting, because he two straight games has literally done nothing. And this is another game where we're playing guys that they're going to be small and athletic, and he is more of a big. Gillis is a little more natural at sliding down to defend people. But we watch Rutgers and NC State. They both just played 3 to 4 guards pretty much. So he was forced to not play a big, and that definitely didn't help him. And I still believe first gives us more.
Oh, I do too. I do too, but I think Painter has from time to time in the past used starting as a reward.
I don't disagree.
And I think Gillis has shown more of what he did last year and more of what I expected from him this year and these last couple games, especially just on the effort end. So I think Painter likes to reward that sort of thing. And with first having two games back to back where he didn't show a whole lot, I think if Painter is going to make a change in that position, I think now would be the time to do it.
I get that. This is a Butler team that if we were going to start Morton at the four, they would make sense to do it. And it's hard to argue that anyone's played better without taking anything off the table than Morton.
Yeah. Yeah. So I it would be good to see. Maybe he'll get rewarded for the start, but I do expect to see a change in the starting lineup come Saturday.
Yeah, it'll probably be something. Trey right now, according to KenPom, second best player in the country.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You gotta play him more than 20 minutes.
You do.
You know, if he can be out there 25, 26 even, right. You know, you don't have to play him 33, 34 minutes. I'm not sure how his conditioning would hold up. And
I'm not worried about that anymore.
He looks really good in the offseason. But, you know, we got to see what he can do. And it's so strange, because if you play him more than that, you know, you're taking Edie off the floor.
That's
and
the thing.
Edie can be great as well. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because you're taking one of your best players off the floor no matter what you do, because we don't expect to see them both on the floor at the same time, except in end of game situation, end of half,
which we might not see that again,
which did not work at the end of that NC State game. So who knows?
Tell me if you agree or not. I think if I'm Painter and I'm looking at the starting center spot, I'm making that choice more off of what do I think is going to get Edie going more than Trey, because I don't worry about Trey.
Yeah, I think that
you
makes
need
sense.
To play him the 25 minutes to more, like you said, but I don't care if it's coming off the bench or not.
Yeah,
I need to get Edie going again, because that Edie was the reason why we didn't have dry spells the first few games of the season.
Yeah, he was automatic.
Right, and against Villanova and North Carolina, just get him the ball inside and he scored. And I think we're both, despite the number drop, we're happy with the shots he's getting. He's still huge, still getting in position. He's still the third best offensive rebounder in the country. He's rebounding way better than he did even last year. So it's all about what can we do to maximize his 15 minutes on the court. Because the first, you know, 8 games of the season, we had a perfect 40 minutes at center. And Edie struggled the last 2 games. We lost. And all of a sudden, you know, our offense is starting to look bad. Part of it is just he's not making the bunnies we're used to.
Yeah, and he will certainly again. I don't think either of us.
Still shooting 75% on.
Right. So.
Sorry, 70. Dropped to 70.
But I mean, it's, you know, it's an interesting conundrum for Matt Painter, and it's the reason he gets paid the big bucks. So.
Right.
I would imagine he's gonna tweak it throughout the season, and then when we get to the end, I would imagine he's gonna feel pretty confident in his rotations and what he's doing with those bigs.
Yeah, I'm the way Trey has played the last 2 games, even in. When our teams look the word, just the way he's able to take over a game, it it makes me feel very good about the tournament because he has shown for long stretches, the tighter the game gets, the better he gets. And it's rare to see that from a center. And the good thing is he's such a mismatch in so many ways. I don't think you can take that away. So
yeah. Yeah.
My entire optimism on this team ceiling wise is Trey based, which is crazy because we have this Edie giant that's just like awesome as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about the past during the NC State game. You just could see Trey was locked in and he was ready to go. And the same thing in the Rutgers game, you know, that last possession where he hit that bucket to put us ahead. The not so game winner game winner. He's looked locked in, and if we get that Trey for the rest of the season, it's going to be hard for anybody truly to beat us.
His assist rate has climbed over 30%.
Yeah. So
he's the sixth best offensive rebounder in the country, fifth best defensive rebounder in the country, 79th best passer in the country, 55th best at drawing fouls. I almost guarantee you those like metrics have probably never been met before in the same player.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
He is such a rare, like almost unquantifiable player for what he can do.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, we got a lot to look forward to. Butler may not be the opponent that's going to test us to the limit, but we're really looking forward to it. It's good to have Purdue basketball back after a brief break for finals.
Do you remember when we had that all-time draft and I got Trey in like the seventh round?
Yes, I do.
I think the votes correctly picked me as the best team. For that, if no other reason.
I mean, I still had Glenn Robinson, so let's not get too cocky.
You had Glenn Robinson and lost.
Well,
the vote.
That's because the people don't know the truth. They don't. They don't know what they want. I'll tell them what they want. So.
Trey and Robinson, not a bad one-on-one matchup.
Oh no, I mean,
in a team environment.
Okay.
In a team environment.
I take Glenn Robinson 10 times out of 10.
You
in that
take
matchup.
Glenn Robinson. I'm just
no
saying,
offense
like,
to Trey.
I'm just saying it's an interesting matchup.
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch for sure.
Because
sure.
body size, they're pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah, they are. But again, I take Robinson 10 out of 10 times.
Yes,
so.
He's like top 5 college players of all time.
Yeah, so.
I'm just saying, my bench guy makes it interesting.
I know. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Hopefully y'all get to listen to this, maybe as you're traveling home for the holidays, maybe as you're finalizing your Christmas gift giving. But for Casey,
what'd you get your wife?
I am not going to say that on this podcast.
My girlfriend doesn't listen, so I got her a pillow for the tub.
Okay.
Like it suctions into the tub.
Gotcha. Yeah, we have one of those too.
Okay, good job. You're ahead of me.
All right. Well, hey, good luck to everybody. We will chat with you next week.
Boiler up.